sermon this morning, which Daphne and Marion are kindly going to bring round. I hope there'll be enough. If you're, whoever you're sat next to, you're going home with, your husband or wife, or, you know, the part of your family or whatever, then do maybe just take one for the household. That will help, rather than having to take two and one will go in recycling. So that means that everyone will be able to get one. Let me just pray for us as those are going round. Sorry that you will be a little bit distracted as they do. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that you have given to us in your word. And we pray that you would help us to understand in the power of your Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to check, Nick, if it's all right to record the hit the record button. You probably have already done that, but I think I put the box back there. Great. Well, this morning we're thinking about the ear as we've gone through the book of Proverbs. Of course, we've divided the book up into different sections, theming the Proverbs together. Whether or not that's the best way of preaching the book is up for debate, but it's a common way of doing it. And as we've gone through, we've considered many different topics. Last week we were looking at the tongue. The recordings are available on the internet if you want to pick up on any or rehear them. This morning we're thinking about the ear. Now, it can be, of course, tremendously difficult for elderly people, and I know that there are a number at St. Mildred's, when our hearing begins to fail and we can't hear anymore, and we haven't learnt the skills that some people who were born unable to hear have learnt, lip reading and things like that, or sign language. So people whose hearing fails towards the end of their lives can be left isolated and unable to hear what's going on. It's an important and precious part of our anatomy, our ability to hear. Beethoven, the great composer, was famously deaf, or went deaf during the course of his life. He wrote, as he realized that his hearing was beginning to fail, he wrote only to his closest friends. He didn't want this to be widely known initially, although of course eventually it did. But initially he tried to cover it up, his loss of hearing, and only his closest friends know. And he wrote to them and said, "Know that my noblest faculty, my hearing, has greatly deteriorated. My noblest faculty. How sad is my lot. I must avoid all things that are dear to me." I guess when you lose your hearing, you become aware of how important it is. But of course, when we talk about this theme of the ear, we don't just mean actually our physical ability to hear. But in a deeper sense, it's about our ability to receive truth. And that can be done in different ways. Of course, those, as I said earlier, who are born deaf often learn how to hear, but using different parts of their body. In fact, if on Saturday I just happened to be watching with the children the opening ceremony of the London 2012 Olympics, because there was some reason it came up in conversation, so we watched a bit of it. And I said, "This is the only part of the Olympics that I wish I'd been able to see live. Everything else I could watch on the telly, but this ceremony, there's no way those drums would have come across on the television. The only way to have fully appreciated it would have been to have been there. And I wish I could have, because it was wonderful." The lady in charge of the drummers is Dame Evelyn Glennie, and she was born deaf, unable to hear. And she says, Glennie said, that deafness is largely misunderstood by the public. She claims to have taught herself to hear with parts of her body other than her ears. And she plays barefoot, because she can feel the vibrations of the drums. And if you saw those drums, it was absolutely wonderful. A fantastic percussionist, but unable to hear. So what we're considering really, in some ways, of course, for most of us, the primary way we'll receive truth is through our ears. But there are other ways we do that too, of course. We communicate, we read emails, we can read text. But really what's been going on here is our ability to receive, primarily for our ears, but in other ways too, truth. Now, as we go through this handout, I hope you will follow. Why does this matter, this theme? We're going to do three things. We're going to look at what the Proverbs teach. They teach that, one, to gain knowledge and understanding, because that's what it's all about, gaining knowledge and understanding, we have to listen to what is right. Two, we're going to consider why we should listen to what is right. Why should we care about gaining knowledge and understanding? Why is that important? And three, we're going to consider some of the barriers that we face to listening to what is right. So, the Proverbs say repeatedly over and over again, if you read them, it can't be missed. It's a lesson that I've had to constantly come back to. I struggle with this theme enormously. It's on my prayer list. I got a piece of advice from a book I read that he said, if you know that there are character failings in your life, put it on your prayer list, use the Bible in prayer, and pray that the Lord will help you with that thing. This has been on mine for ages, listening to what is right. Last week, if you were here, as Andrew preached, he mentioned, he gave a great illustration of Katie, his wife, who is a GP, and the interviews that she was doing for people to become GPs in their practice. And as they watched them, she realised that the best GPs, the ones who were going to be the best GPs, were those who listened to the patient, because they were able to diagnose correctly. It's such an important skill, ability to listen. And the GP who just decided without correct information was actually a bad GP, because the patient is giving you the diagnosis, you must listen. To gain knowledge and understanding, we have to listen to what is right. Now, the Proverbs contend this over and over again, but 12 verse 1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid. In other words, if you hate being challenged, you hate receiving information or advice or truth from outside of yourself, I hate receiving that because I believe I already possess it all, then you are stupid. That word stupid means you're like a beast. You're no better than an animal. You're not able to ascend to being what it really means to be a human in the image of God, because you keep yourself at an animal base level by your refusal to receive from outside of yourself correction and truth. The one who really loves knowledge, if I really want knowledge, I really want understanding, then I have to love discipline. It's the only way. If I hate discipline, I actually hate knowledge at the end of the day. I have to listen. I can just about remember those great radios. You can see a little picture of one where you had to use a little dial to tune, and then you'd realize you hadn't lit. If you were in a car, you had to lift out the kind of receiver. Do you remember? You used to pull it out and you'd flap around in the wind and all that stuff. And you used to go tuning in. And you'd hear all these strange, funny noises, and then the indistinct voices and a few odd notes of a music, and eventually you'd get clarity. And it was wonderful. Ah! I found the station. You've got to learn to tune in. All of us have to listen to what is right. Not to listen to any voice, we'll come on to that, but to listen to what is right. Learn to tune in. Because if we don't, if we say, I don't need to tune in, I'm happy with this crazy white noise that I'm listening to on my radio, actually, we will be like the beasts, without knowledge, without understanding. To gain knowledge and understanding, I have to acknowledge that I do not possess it in myself unless I go and get it. True knowledge and understanding. I must listen. So why should we want to listen to what is right? Why should we, as we're on point two now on the sheets, why should I care? Maybe I could just be happy with the white noise of the radio. I'd just be happy with that. I don't need to tune in. I can just be content with what I've got and live like this. Well, the Proverbs help us. They give us encouragement and rebuke to try and encourage, to tell us, look, knowledge matters. What you understand, what you're taking into yourself matters. That's why it matters what you listen to. Firstly, on the point two, it creates beauty. Pay attention, 22:17, and listen to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing. It is pleasing when you keep them in your heart. Let's look at that word. Just means beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. It's a lovely thing. It's lovely for you. God has created us that way. We've all got this kind of actually deep down within us understanding of the beauty of knowledge, of understanding, of something that works, of being able to reply to people well, of being able to help people. Do you know Jesus, when he was at the woman at the well, he makes this incredibly interesting comment. The disciples come back to him and they've got food. That's what they've been going to do. He was on his own because they were going to get food. And they're all hungry. And the disciples are like, all I care about is eating now because I'm so hungry. And Jesus is like, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. What was it? He was saying that this conversation he was having with the woman at the well was so beautiful. It was better than food. It was better than a feast. It was that's how pleasing it was to him to be able to speak to this woman and set her free and to build her up and to change and shape and to use his knowledge and understanding for good, for life. It was pleasing to him. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. In other words, the rebuker and the one who receives it, the person who challenges and the one who receives it together are like an ear that has got its earring on it. It's beautiful. Secondly, it leads to everlasting fruit. Everlasting. Now remember that word. That's the key word. Listen to advice, 19:20, and accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise. Actually, one commentator says that it's actually not just the end of your life, but it's actually the ultimate end. It's eternal life in the afterlife he's referring to here. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise. It will matter for a long time, is the point. For eternity, for continuity, it's going to matter forever. The instruction, the knowledge that we have from God. A false witness will perish, but the word of a man who hears will endure. Let's use the ESV there, because the translation we normally use in the Bible gets it slightly, confuses it in my opinion. That's what it's saying. It's saying actually that if you testify falsely, your knowledge is it's not true, whatever it is that you're believing, and you're testifying falsely, you will perish. But the words of those of the wise endure forever. Do you remember that film Gladiator? The things we do in this life will echo through eternity. Do you remember that that bit of a few years back? Well, really, actually, wisdom will go on forever. This will go on forever. Thirdly, it leads to life, to real life. Okay, so it creates beauty, it leads to everlasting fruit, but it also leads to life. Our ability to receive knowledge and understanding, true knowledge and true understanding, leads to life. It's like, I've put there, soul bling. You know that thing about bling and I want to have as much jewelry as I can and look great? Well, wisdom is soul bling. It makes your soul beautiful. We've already seen that in the first point under number two. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. But look at this proverb at the bottom of the page, under it leads to life, real life. He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. He who ignores discipline despises himself. But whoever heeds correction gains understanding. And actually the Hebrew is stronger than that because it pairs the word soul and heart. And most of the translations for some reason kind of give a gloss to the word soul and heart. So where it says he who ignores discipline despises himself, it's actually he despises his soul. And where it says he who overheeds correction gains understanding, it's actually he gains a heart. Now I think soul and heart together in the Hebrew are two. To pair those things together, it must be making a point. So I don't think the English translators are right to lose that and kind of give a gloss to the translation. What it's saying is, you will lose your soul and your heart if you refuse true knowledge, true understanding, and you will gain it if you gain knowledge and understanding. You will have real life. That's what it's telling us. Life. Oh Lord, give me life. Not just give me beauty, not just everlasting fruit, but actually life, a soul, a heart. And it comes from the wisdom that comes from God. Okay, another reason. Now, this one I've thought about quite a lot, this proverb. It protects community. If a ruler listens to lies, all his officials become wicked. Isn't that interesting? Because of the ruler's ears, he's listening to lies, he corrupts his ministers. What about in family life? When I fail, as I often do, to find out what's happened when the children are arguing, I just leap to a conclusion. I might be listening to something that's false. What devastating effect could that have on my family? As the other children realize, Dad doesn't care about what happened in this situation. He's listened to an untruth there. What happens if we do it in work? In any community, in this community, we corrupt each other by paying attention to lies. Why? Because if we are willing to listen to lies, then it means people will use lies to win our favor. And therefore they corrupt themselves. Our ability to receive truth and to want the truth, our inability to receive the truth, to want the truth, can corrupt a community. It can do that. But if we listen to the truth, if we love truth, if we place a greater value on truth than falsehood, about any situation, maybe I need to be honest about myself and my failings, and my refusal to listen to the truth about myself is causing others to behave oddly. You can protect the community by your willingness to listen to the truth. And finally, it develops our prayer life. If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. If anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable. God's not going to listen to me if I've got my ears are shut against the poor and against his word. I really want him to listen to me. You know, I know daily I need God's help. I know daily I'm crying out to him. I can't deal with this. I need wisdom about this. I need protection. I need you to listen to me, God, or please protect us from these terrible things that could come our way. I want God to hear me when I make those prayers. Therefore, I must be willing to listen to what matters to him. If I turn a deaf ear to what matters to God, he will turn a deaf ear to what matters to me. Jesus said in the parable of the unmerciful servant exactly the same thing. This is not simply from the book of Proverbs. Jesus said it. He will not be shown mercy because he refused to show mercy. I want God to hear my prayer, so I will receive as much truth as I can from his word. Listen to it, and also listen to people who need help, the poor. Okay, so those are the reasons why we should want knowledge, because it's beautiful, it creates beauty, it leads to everlasting fruit, the word of the wise will go on forever. It leads to real life. I want a soul, I want a heart. It protects community, protects the communities that we're involved in, and it develops our prayer life, our ability to listen to the truth. So what are the barriers to listening to what is right? Point three, what are some of the barriers? Well, the first and most obvious one is listening to the wrong things. A wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. If I'm tuning my radio into the wrong voice, to stuff that's harmful, stuff that's malicious and destructive, then of course I'm filling my soul with that stuff, and I've got no room for the truth. Tune out of it. That's the best thing we can do. Do you know what? It's extraordinary if you watch the BBC website, and again, this is a challenge to me. The BBC have the list of their most popular stories of the day. You know, the BBC will, if you go on their website, they've got all their news stories, but they also have what's the most popular stories that people are viewing. It makes interesting reading sometimes, because sometimes the most horrible stories are at the top of the list. Right, stories about some terrible thing that's happened to someone, even though it's not a national event, it's just a story of what's happened to one person in a country or something, and it will make its way to the top of that list. Like, this person was raped, or this person was beaten, and you think, this headline, everyone's clicking on it. Watch, have a look at that list, you'll see sometimes the most, and yet stories that really matter are often really far down or not even on there. That is because, you know, I'm saying something about myself by what I want to hear. If I want to hear all this stuff, if I want to gossip about how much cellulite this celebrity has got on their body, if I want that kind of story, I'm saying something about my heart. If I want to listen to stories that are about disaster that struck someone, I've actually got to say that's telling me something. I'm wanting to tune into that stuff. Sometimes we just got to tune out. Now, of course, we can't entirely. I'm not saying we should never have any negative stories around us. We have to. We live in this world. But we can't make a deliberate decision to tune into devastation, destruction, malicious voices. We must make a deliberate choice to tune out where possible. So that's the first barrier, listening to the wrong things. Secondly, my view of myself, how my opinion of myself, this will become a barrier. How I view myself will become a barrier to my ability to listen to the truth. The way of a fool seems right to him. Okay, so what's the problem with the fool? Why is this person foolish? Because they're only interested in their own opinion. They tell themselves, I'm right, I don't care. But a wise man listens to advice. The way of a fool is right to him. All he cares about is his own opinion. And so he declares himself to be right, refuses to listen to advice. A fool, now these next two make me, I love these next two. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. Now, I know many of you are sitting here thinking, but isn't that just all men? Isn't it just all men? They love to delight in share their own opinions, and they're always constantly giving you advice before they've actually listened to what you said. Now, the answer is no, because I do know some men who are really good at not doing that. And also, we wouldn't justifiably say, because you're male, this is something that you will therefore automatically do. But I will concede that we men are often not so good at this. We can be very, very bad. And this is why it's on my prayer list. Because this is a massive pitfall for me. Do you actually listen to people when they're speaking to you? Or are you thinking about the next thing you want to say? Well, that's been my default. Someone's speaking, we're having a debate. I'm not even listening to what they're saying. I'm formulating my next point. Or in conversation, do you actually spend time to hear what someone's saying to you, their situation? As I said earlier, Katie and her experience with the GPs. But that's true of all life. You know, if we want to help people, we will not be able to do it unless we actually listen to them. You're not going to be able to do it. You're just blurting out your nonsense. But it is that nonsense until you've heard someone. But why is that a pitfall for me? What is going on that means I want to answer before hearing and I delight in airing my own opinions? What is going on? Well, I've got a big view of myself. That's what's going on. Underneath it all, it's not a problem with my ears. It's a problem with my ego. I think I'm always right. I think I've got the truth, these people haven't. But the reality of that is it's a barrier to gaining true knowledge. I will be content in my useless knowledge if I behave that way. When I went to theological college, I was a total loser, really. I couldn't listen to anyone except for a narrow community of the church. It was a beautiful community and still is. I had received so much from the church background and the people that were around me when I became a Christian, but the problem was it meant I thought they were the truth exists in this small community here. And when I got to theological college, I couldn't listen. I just assumed everyone was ridiculous and didn't really know the truth about the gospel. It took God until my third year there, and thankfully by my third year he shook it out of me. And I began to see that they had something to give me, these people. And the problem was me, that I will stop myself receiving truth, whether it's Christian truth, if I refuse to listen to people. Don't have a narrow view of the church. Oh, only people who are from the Pentecostal tradition, only people from the charismatic, only people from the conservative evangelical tradition are the ones who have the truth. Everyone else, shut, tune out. What will that do? It will limit you. It'll limit me. It'll mean I don't get to what God has got for me, which is the wonderful truth that sets us free. So barriers to listening to what is right: listening to the wrong things, having a big view of myself, and thirdly, thinking I've arrived. So maybe you're not so egocentric as I was, and still am. Maybe you're willing to listen to the truth. But you've been a Christian for a long time now, and you're telling yourself, I think I've arrived now, I don't need any more. Stop listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. It must be a constant pursuit. Note the lesson of Solomon, the writer of the book of Proverbs. We are reading the words of Solomon when we study Proverbs, and he failed on this area. He stopped listening to instruction, and what happened to him? He strayed from the words of knowledge. Even Solomon, by the end of his life, had lost it all because he refused to constantly pursue. You must never cease. The great Billy Graham died this week, just gone. I'm sure he probably needs no introduction. The great evangelist Billy Graham, who preached, and by the end of his life, he'd spoken to more than 1 million people, and had been around the world speaking to world leaders. He'd been in North Korea. He'd been in some of the most extraordinary regimes. He'd been in the Kremlin during the Cold War years. God used him in the most powerful way to tell the gospel all around the world. He was a man of great faith, and he loved the scriptures. And he said this: I read 5 psalms every day. That teaches me how to get along with God. I read a chapter of Proverbs every day. That teaches me how to get along with my fellow man. He never stopped, and that's what made him great. He never said, I've arrived now. I'm tuning out of what I'm retiring from work, and I'll retire from growing in the gospel too. Well, that will mean you'll lose it all. This must be a relentless pursuit. Don't tell yourself you're arrived, because we never have. And everything can be lost when I stop listening. Fourthly, driving the wise to silence, the final barrier. Do not speak to a fool, for he will scorn the wisdom of your words. People that you really need to hear from, listen to these types of truths, and they stop speaking to people who they can tell are not listening. The wise stop speaking to fools. And so the people we really need to hear from will not be speaking to me anymore if I am a fool. If I drive the wise to shut up, then I lose the ability to get wisdom. That's what happened to Herod. Have a study of how many times Jesus said nothing. Herod thought, this is a great man, let me get him in my presence. Jesus said not one word to him, because Jesus knew that by that point, after he chopped off the head of John the Baptist, that was it. No point in saying anything. If you drive the wise to silence, you lose access to wisdom. Okay, now let me just conclude with some application, because we've been a long time. Now I know these are deep studies. This is not the easiest necessarily theme to be preaching on, and the Proverbs challenge us and they provoke us, and it's a bit more like a lecture in some ways. But we can learn in half an hour. You know, the point in a sermon, the point in what we're doing, it's not how I feel about it right now. It's how it makes me live tomorrow that matters. And so half an hour of studying these Proverbs together could lead to massive change. But the important thing is not how do I feel about it right now, but how does it impact me for tomorrow? That's what matters. That's why it's worth doing a fairly deep study on these Proverbs. Take this home, have a look at them in your own time. I'm not interested in my bits that I've written. It's the Proverbs that matter. Have a look at them when you get home. So let me just do a few words of application, and then I will pray and invite the Spirit to minister to each one of us. Three things I want to just say and leave you to think about. Remember that you need to seek advice in your life, and it is the Holy Spirit who has revealed that necessity. The Holy Spirit has revealed that in the book of Proverbs and other parts of the Bible. Okay? He has told us that seeking advice matters. If I'm making a big life decision and I'm not seeking advice from people, I'm being a fool. And I cannot say, because I possess the Holy Spirit, I have the Holy Spirit, therefore I don't need to listen to advice. Now, I'm not trying to undermine the fact that in the New Testament we do have a powerful access to the Holy Spirit, and he does speak to us and individually and privately. But he does not negate the scriptures he has revealed. So I can't say I'll face life decisions simply by praying on my own and waiting for the Spirit to speak to me. Because the Spirit has told us we need advice, we need counsel. And if I shut my ears to that truth, not my truth, the truth of the Bible, what did the proverb say? God will shut his ears to me. It amazes me how often people will make massive decisions, and you say, who have you spoken to about this? Who have you asked to pray for you about this? And they will say, I've prayed on my own. That is not good. We need advice. We need counsel. We need the wisdom of the wise. Now, I'm not saying let's go out there and get everyone's opinion. That, of course, is also ridiculous. Just let's go out there and get a mass opinion, do a survey. What I mean is a few wise counselors who are prayerful to give you advice. That really does matter. Not that they will always be right, but they will give you advice that will feed into your own prayers as well. Are there some things, secondly, that you need to stop listening to? Is the Spirit kind of gently stirring you to saying, look, that program that you keep going to, that radio, whatever it might be, that thing that you're reading, that group of people who keep talking about these things, and you know you can escape, sometimes you can't, but you could do. Are there some voices you need to tune out of? They're filling you with junk in here, and it's not helping, it's driving out the truth. And are there some things you need to start listening to? Reading the scriptures in your own life. Making an effort to study sermons. Listen to sermons, not just sermons here, but the great preachers in other churches too. Are there some books that we could start reading that would really help us? Are there things we need to tune into that we currently aren't doing? Let's just take a moment and we'll invite the Spirit to minister, and then I will stop. Heavenly Father, Jesus said, if we, though being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And so we ask right now that in fulfillment of those words of Jesus, you would send your Spirit upon us. Lord, only you know our hearts and our circumstances and our situations. Only you know our experiences fully. So may your Spirit minister to each one of us. May there be, if there are things we need to stop listening to, may you show us. If there are things we need to start listening to, may you show us.